Support for this public radio podcast is provided by Cleveland Clinic, expanding globally and committed every day to providing innovative treatments and hope to patients worldwide. Online at clevelandclinic.org. And by Constellation Energy, a global provider of fuels, power, and energy services, committed to environmentally sound, energy-efficient, and sustainable energy solutions. Constellation Energy, the way energy works.
Blame it on the Benjamins.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. So much for the almighty dollar. Today, it got hammered against the yen. For the first time in a dozen years, the greenback dipped below 100 yen. It wound up bouncing back and trading, but meanwhile, the dollar hit record lows against the euro and Swiss franc, too. Suddenly, the buck is seeming tainted in places like the Middle East. Marketplace's Jill Barshay says some countries are even rethinking their ties to it.
Kuwait was the first Gulf state to stop pegging its currency to the dollar last May. The United Arab Emirates is thinking about it. So is Qatar. Paul Lennox of Custom House Currency Exchange tracks foreign currencies. He says the weak U.S. dollar is causing problems for the Gulf states. Inflation's running at 13% a year in Qatar.
As the U.S. dollar falls, then the Gulf currencies also fall relative to the euro. And so if the Gulf states are importing goods, services, what have you, from Europe, the price of those imports are going up in their currency.
Of course, the most important commodity in the region is oil, and it's priced in dollars. Lennox says that's why Saudi Arabia and the bigger Gulf states are likely to keep their currencies married to the dollar. They're making a lot more in oil revenues than they're losing in inflation, he says. I'm Jill Barshay for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, on Wall Street Wednesday, the Dow closed down 47 points to 12,110. The NASDAQ closed down 12 to 2243, and the S&P closed down 12 to 1307. 60% more homes are facing foreclosure. New numbers out from Realty Track show Nevada, California, and Florida have the dubious distinction of the highest foreclosure rates. To avoid a mess like this in the future, today in Washington, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson is expected to recommend a revamp of rules on home lending, including nationwide licensing standards for mortgage brokers. Marketplace's Sam Eaton says a coalition of community organizations will also be asking for help.
The National Community Reinvestment Coalition wants the federal government to buy up troubled mortgages from banks at a discounted rate, taking some of the pressure off of strapped homeowners. But the group's president, John Taylor, says it's not a bailout.
It's really acting more as a cash advance agent to recoup these loans from Wall Street so that they can be modified and restructured.
Taylor says once restructured, the loans can be sold back to the banks, keeping the government in the black. But mortgage industry economist Tom LaMalfa says that's wishful thinking in a time of sinking home values.
The bottom line is that the government is going to be on the hook for billions of dollars, tens of billions of dollars, given the magnitude of the potential problem.
LaMalfa says even if the government buys up mortgages at discounted rates, those discounts could become deficits if the mortgage crisis worsens, leaving the government holding the tab. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, working toward energy independence with 10 billion transit trips per year at publictransportation.org. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More ThriveQ.com. Middle East Reporting is supported by Constellation Energy, global provider of fuels, power, and energy services. Committed to sound, efficient, sustainable energy solutions. Constellation.com.
Here's how high the price of food is becoming. Even the companies that make it are feeling the pinch. The nation's largest chicken supplier is closing half its distribution centers. Pilgrim's Pride will also shut down a processing complex. The company says it's cost $1 billion more to feed its chickens over the past 2 years. Meanwhile, the rising price of food is leading to boom times for the world's largest food company. Nestle is raising its sales forecast. Lots of Kit Kats and Nescafe. Tomorrow, the EPA is expected to announce new rules requiring cleaner engines on ships and trains. Since the year 2000, the nation's five big freight rail carriers have spent $10 billion on new tracks, rail yards, and equipment. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sarah Gardner reports these are boom times in the railroad industry.
U.S. railroads still carry coal and timber for manufacturing, but increasingly they're moving containers full of Chinese-made consumer goods from ports to cities. America's appetite for imports just keeps growing, and rail carriers want a bigger piece of that business.
As that grows, you cannot put it all on the highways.
Bob Gramila is with Union Pacific. He and other rail execs say their trains can carry some of the consumer goods that trucks now move and do it greener.
Freight rail is about three times more fuel efficient and therefore more environmentally friendly than trucks on a ton-mile basis.
Rail companies have been pushing that line in their expansion efforts. CSX Railroad even worked up a carbon calculator on its website so shippers could see emission savings from rail. And Maine's governor is pushing trains as a greener transport alternative that can cut highway maintenance costs. But rail's green PR sticks in the craw of some of the industry's critics. Barry Wallerstein, a Southern California air quality regulator, has sued the rail companies over their diesel emissions. He says they contribute to the region's smog.
They're not a cleaner choice until they have cleaner technology fully utilized, including on their locomotives. And frankly, they have had their head in the sand about air pollution cleanup for decades.
Tim Lynch at the American Trucking Association says greener or not, in the end, he doesn't believe trains pose a serious threat to the long-haul trucker.
And because the railroad is a fixed line that begins at one point and ends at one point, once it gets off of that, it has to be in a truck.
Barry Wallerstein says trucks are adopting cleaner technology faster than trains. One reason is federal laws have historically shielded rail from serious regulation. Environmentalists are hailing the EPA's decision due tomorrow to demand cleaner train engines, but fear the feds will wait a full decade to put the requirements in place. In Los Angeles, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.